In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Often, especially these days, it seems like there's not simply enough time in the day to do everything that we think needs to be done. It's very easy to get tired, stressed, worn out. And so what's left to do but try to cut some things out? Try to get by with, what do I absolutely have to do? What's the minimum? Dishes might be piling up. I can get those tomorrow. Perhaps there's a project that you should be working on. Maybe another time. Your kids haven't bathed for a few days. They can handle another day. And we might get by doing things this way. But in doing so, in sparing us some much needed energy, really all we're doing is kicking the problem down the road. We, after all, will end up reaping what we sow. And so, in this situation, we end up with a filthy kitchen, subpar work, stinky kids. It's all too easy to make this sort of thing a habit, where tiredness becomes laziness. And then that leads to apathy, which then in turn leads to negligence. And this spills over into our spiritual lives as well. We start to ask ourselves, what is the least that I have to do to be good with God? How much do I really need to pray? Is fasting really necessary? Will the priest even notice if I'm not at church? What is the minimum tithe to be in good standing in the church? When we do any of these things, we join ourselves in testing Jesus with that lawyer in today's gospel who asked, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus, instead of answering, turns the question back on him. He says, "How do you understand the law?" The lawyer gives a good Sunday school answer. "You should love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, your neighbor as yourself." And Jesus responds to him, "Yeah, that's right. Do that and you shall live." But this wasn't enough for the lawyer. Looking to narrow down the requirements, he asks, "But who is my neighbor? Who is it that I really need to love?" So Jesus tells him a story. A man was robbed, beaten, left for dead on the road, and in turn, a priest and a Levite happened upon the man. Now the priest and the Levite, these were leaders in the community, individuals to which the people looked up to as examples. Each one not only ignored this beaten man, but avoided him, even crossing to the other side of the street to be as far away from him as they could. And then a Samaritan comes by. Now, this Samaritan was a man simply by nature of being a Samaritan who was looked down on and treated as an outsider in the Jewish community. He was certainly not considered a neighbor. Regardless, this Samaritan had compassion on the man and took care of him, taking care of this man who most likely would not have done the same to the Samaritan. Now the Samaritan bandaged his wounds to stop the bleeding, poured wine over the wounds to clean them, and oil to soothe and prevent infection. In most cases, most people would say, He did what he had to do, and more probably. He did enough. But then he took the injured man, hoisted him onto his donkey, which you can imagine the weight of someone who cannot support themselves. This took some effort. He took the injured man to an inn where he gave the equivalence of 2 days' pay to cover his expenses and promised the innkeeper that if he ended up spending any more, that when he returned, he would cover it. Keep in mind that this is not only a stranger, but someone who would have treated the Samaritan with disdain. And our Lord asks, which of these, the priest, the Levite, or the Samaritan, proved neighbor to the man? It was the one who showed mercy. Now, when we feel stripped bare by our circumstances, beaten and left bleeding by our sins, it is Christ who is our neighbor and has compassion on us. On our wounds, he pours the wine of his blood and the oil of his merciful forgiveness. He carries us to the end of the church, where our souls continue to be nursed back to life. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the perfect example of what it is to be a Christian, and so he commands us to go and do likewise. Do you want to know Christ more perfectly? To be increasingly united to him? What better way is there than to imitate him? Today we have entered the season of preparation for the coming of Christ, the Nativity season, Advent. We get ready to welcome him who humbled himself in taking on our humanity and emptied himself for our sake on the cross. In our preparation, the church teaches us to fast. This is usually where there's a few groans. Yes, we're supposed to follow the rules of fasting, avoiding this type of food and that type of food on certain days. But that's only the first step. It's possible, and even common, to fast without actually fasting, without any spiritual progress. St. John Chrysostom, whose feast we celebrated on Friday, points out that fasting is not merely avoiding certain foods, but primarily avoiding sin. It's very possible to fast without actually fasting. When we abstain from foods, but don't abstain from iniquities. When we do not eat meat, but we gnaw to pieces the homes of the poor. When we do not become drunkards with wine, but we become drunkards with evil pleasures. When we abstain all the day, but all the night we spend in sinful entertainment. St. John says our fasting is empty. For what good is it if we abstain from birds and fishes, but we bite and devour our brothers? St. John then gives us a recipe for fasting. Let the hands fast by being free of avarice, of greedy work. Let the feet fast by ceasing to run after sin. Let the eyes fast by disciplining them not to glare at that which is sinful. Let the ears fast by not listening to evil talk and gossip. Let the mouth fast from foul words and unjust criticism. Our preparation in the fast includes the involvement of our whole being, every part of our body, mind, and soul. So rather than asking, what is the minimum that I must do to be saved? How many church services? How many times do I have to cross myself? What do I have to fast from so I can draw the line there? Or, as the lawyer, who is my neighbor that I must love? Instead, we are called to become that loving neighbor as we fast from sin. Let us seek to imitate Christ, becoming more like him who became like us in his birth of the Theotokos. And let this penetrate every aspect of our lives. To the glory of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.